Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. This is the last segment of our daily devotion this week, and we pray that it will be a blessing, that it will answer some questions. I want to say I'm thankful for the responses and the words of encouragement from the different saints. It has been a blessing to me to both know that we have said something that would be a help unto his children. We're going to start today in the book of Luke, chapter 6, and verse 18 and 19. And it says this, "And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went a virtue out of him, and he healed them all." Then in Acts chapter 5 and verse 16, it says this, "There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." When we read these scriptures, we are left with the question, if everyone was healed in these situations, what are we lacking? Why are we sick? There are some different points that we will look at today. Number one, unbelief is an issue. Amen, Lord. Help us. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24, it says this, "Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." But as we have stated many times, this is not the reason, but it is used as a club to beat down the people as they struggle with an illness. I heard this man tell this story. They asked the man in the hospital, "How are you today?" Tears came in his eyes and he said, "I will soon be out there with those others." He had already reconciled his thinking to what the doctor had told him, that he would pass away. Yet, the Lord lifted him up. The question, how much faith do we need? How is it that a man with no faith is healed? The second point, we live within a corruptible body. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23, Paul would instruct Timothy, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmity." His often infirmity, that's sickness. Why didn't Paul tell him, just have faith? Surely the apostle Paul had prayed over him. What we understand is that Paul understood the condition that Timothy was in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul would make this statement, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Paul understood that he was living in a corruptible vessel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, he makes this statement, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my sicknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul would write this, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first." In another translation, it is translated this way, "Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news." The third point, we have walked carelessly, and now we are reaping what we sowed. I remember years ago, I had a treadmill that I would use to get some exercise. I spend a lot of time at home sitting and reading, so it's nice to get the exercise. When I got off the exercise, as I got off the treadmill, it told me how many calories I had burnt while I was on the treadmill. I went to the refrigerator and I grabbed this drink called Mountain Dew to quench my thirst. I turned the can around and I looked on the back of it and I realized that the amount of calories that I had burned on the treadmill was the same amount of calories that was in that can of soda. It made me understand this. If I drink this, I will take away all the advantages of walking on that treadmill. And I'm afraid that that is what we do sometimes. We allow things into our life that are detrimental to us and work against us. I remember preaching a message one time, and we asked the question, "Are you sick?" This brother never even stood up. But afterwards, he told me, "You know what? I'm on diabetes. I mean, I'm taking shots for diabetes. I really have these conditions in my body." But he's told me this also, "I am convicted. I have been hindering the natural process of God dealing in my body." We got to realize that we can do that. We can actually hinder what God desires to do in a natural way in our body. The fourth point, the sovereign Lord has a plan and he has a purpose. And he is using this to perfect his purpose within us. Many times we don't understand what he's doing, but we can rest in the fact that he is doing something in our life. The fifth point is this, for the glory of God. Someone could ask, how can sickness be for the glory of God? It is when it's for a season, because when healing comes, it testifies of his power. A woman sick with an issue of blood for 12 years spent all her living on doctors. She would inspire faith in a multitude. We read in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 35 and 36. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Not only can healing accomplish this, to stir the faith in other people, but your attitude while enduring this trial will speak to others also in their affliction. The sixth point, it is used to sift you for a season. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And I like this, verse 32. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The Lord never said that I will keep Satan from sifting you, from afflicting you, from bringing these thoughts, the doubts and things upon your life. But he said, I pray that your faith would fail not, that you would be able to overcome this trial of your faith. The Lord is able to do these things for us even today. The seventh point, it is for chastisement. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30, it says this, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And then down in verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The Lord chastens us for our correction. Sometimes he will allow things to come against our body to catch our attention, to make us to slow down, to make us to think, to ponder on what he's trying to tell us. What we understand is this, the Lord's chastening is for our correction, our instruction, and our benefit. And then the eighth point that we will touch on, there is a sickness unto death. In John 11 and verse 4, Jesus would make this statement. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. It allows us to know that there is a sickness unto death. It is the means that the Lord will bring us home to be with him. In conclusion, I want to read some scriptures to better help us understand this thought that we can ask whatever we will and it will be done. In John chapter 5 and verse 19, it says this, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And in verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. In John chapter 14 and verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In John chapter 15 and verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And then in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, and this is important, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. John's understanding of these scriptures, of the statements that he has made, is this. Number one, I can of mine own self do nothing. Number two, ye shall ask in my name. Number three, if ye abide in me. And number four, according to his will. This all speaks of being in tune with the Spirit of God, hearing his voice, moving under inspiration, knowing what God is going to do. This is what was demonstrated in the life of Jesus. This was also demonstrated in the life of William Branham, that he would wait upon the Spirit. And once he saw something, whether it be a dream or vision or some kind of inspiration, then he could declare it as if it was finished. I want you to note this. I am afraid many within the end time message do not truly understand this. They are only moving under emotions and a ignorance, if I can say that, of the scriptures. I'll give a little experience. In 2004, I lost my eldest son. He passed away. We went to the hospital, and when I went into the room where he was laying, I knew this: God is able to raise the dead. I had received a prophecy in the service in Bloomington before, when we had talked about that God was able to raise the dead. And in the prophecy, it said, you will not only hear of these things, but you will witness them. When I stood there beside my son's bed, I thought, Lord, this would be a perfect time to witness your power in raising the dead. But when we prayed, there was no answer. My son had passed from this life into the next. A few weeks after that, the Lord had placed a word upon the heart of a sister in the church, and the prophecy came forth to me. And this is a little of what it said. I will not read you the whole thing, but this is part of it. My children, hear what the Spirit would speak unto the church, and to thee, my son Timothy, I would speak expressly. Through thy grief, I will give you words of comfort to speak to others in need. And through the laying on of thy hands shall many be healed. But as a token that all would know, it is through my inspiration and not the choice of man, I could not allow thine own son to be raised. If it was my choice, my faith, my power, it would have been my son Brian. But the Lord would ask me, will you trust me? That's what I want to do. I want to trust him. I understand this. God is a healer. God is able to raise the dead. But it is not according to our power, our choice, my faith. It is under the inspiration of the Lord and our trust in him. I heard a brother say this to the people one time. Some of the evangelists you hear and some of the people who follow them have the philosophy, well, you don't have to accept anything the devil tries to put on you. Just reject it. If you feel a sickness coming on, don't accept it. Young people, please do not ever entertain that kind of thought. You want to live by revelation faith, not just someone's ideas. I was in a service one time, and there was this excitement that God was doing something, that he was a healer, and he was able to answer the prayers, the requests of the people. I remember seeing this brother throw his glasses up on the platform and declare that God had touched him. After service, he came looking for his glasses. I desire true faith, a faith that has a substance, not just an excitement for a season, the emotion of what's taking place. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says this, Now, in the hymn that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, God has placed within us a power of healing, but also the power of a sound mind, of wisdom. He has given us a substance. I had told the testimony about losing my son in a service one time as I was traveling. At that time, there was a sister in the service, and they had a little boy that had a lot of health issues, that he was have to be on a monitor in the evening when they put him to bed. The sister stood up in the service, and she said this, "I believe what you have said tonight, and I believe this. If you will pray for my son tonight, he will be well." She brought her little boy up to me, just a baby at the time, and I took him in my arms, and I prayed for him. Today, that little baby is an 18-year-old young man, seems to be in perfect health. Why would God strike her heart, heal her son, and yet allow my son to be taken from me? I know this. God's ways are higher than my ways. I will trust him. In sickness and in health. When my prayers are answered, and when the answer is not at this time, may we have complete faith in God, peace in knowing that he is in control, that there are reasons sometimes he allows these things to come against our life, but it is in his great wisdom. He has a plan. He has a purpose for my life, and he has a plan and purpose for yours. If you are in need of healing today, may God grant you healing. If you are in need of peace, I pray that he will grant you peace. In all things, may the Lord our God be with you. May he bless and guide your life. Thankful for Brother Andrew giving me this opportunity, I pray that the word spoken this week would shine a greater light on this thought of divine healing and what is faith. May God bless you all. We love you in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen.